Welcome to episode 190 of the Family Podcast Network. I am so close to 200.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you want to have kids, if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a seasoned parent, there is always something that we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is January the 23rd, 2013. Our topic for today is going to be let them box it out. That's right. A lot of times, one of the banes of parenting is whenever we have siblings that get together and they fight, they argue, they bicker, they get into complaints, and then they come running as mom, dad, I can't do this, and they do that, and they blah, 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 right? And it just drives us nuts. We're going to talk today about one of the panaceas, the elixirs that helps make that go away. However, the answer lies in an answer that you may not expect, but it works. We'll get into that here in just a little bit, guys. Before we do that, let's get into our housekeeping for today. If you want to get notified of new episodes, make sure that you never miss out on that one episode that, man, if you just would have heard it, it could have changed everything with you and your kids and your family this week. Make sure that you sign up for our free episode notification. That's at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Over in the right-hand side bar, enter in your name, enter in your email. Make sure that you don't miss that episode that would have just made life easier. Guys, if you do that, one of the things I'm doing right now, I've had such a huge success on my book, The Lost Art of Parenting, that I've started offering that to free. I lost count of the amount of downloads when I was selling it. I lost count of how many downloads I gave on it, and I want to bring a serious value to you guys whenever I do this. And so I made the executive decision to make that ebook completely free. I did that. So now whenever you enter in your name and your email address to that sidebar, it redirects you and you see a little link there that says you can click to download the book. Put that on your iPhone, your iPad, Kindle, whatever device that you want to. Guys, I promise you it's not just some little rinky-dink PDF that I put together. We had it submitted to a professional graphic artist and they made it look all nice and pretty. So it's got the standard stuff you're used to hearing here, plus it actually looks good, which I can't do with myself. So in other words, I'm saying there's no picture of me on it. And so go check that book out. It's completely free to you guys who are just some of the most incredible audience out there. I'm not just saying that to be funny or anything like that. I mean that. I absolutely mean that. Guys, also don't forget to like us on Facebook. Man, we get good talks over there. Some of the more rubber meets the road stuff gets talked about over there on Facebook. And we love to keep a conversation go up over there. We've got quite a few you Facebook. You know who you Facebookers are over there that stay active on the site and talk. Don't forget, guys, if you want to stay up to date on those regularly, what did Trey talk about today and those kinds of things, make sure that Facebook doesn't edge rank you and you can't see me, even if you've liked my page. Facebook EdgeRank can still cut it out. The best way to do that is once you go to the site, go click on the little symbol over there that looks like a setting symbol and click Add to Interests. And if you add that to the interest, you'll start getting all of my updates. Remember to do that or else it cuts out a lot of the good stuff. So go check those out. Don't forget to like us and share this. One of the best things that you guys can do is once you get done listening to this, go up to that little Facebook icon right above the player bar. And hit share on that. Throw a little couple words out there. That's the best thing that you can do. I mean, I can sit there and say that I think I'm awesome all day long. You know what people are going to say? Meh. You know? But if they hear you say it, man, I love this guy. He talked about this. This really spoke to me. I realized that I need to start doing this. That is what will get people's attention. And that is some of the most helpful thing that you can do in helping me get this show spread out there to other folks and other parents that want to de-stress their parenting. I sure do appreciate it. Consider doing that. Guys, also go check out our blog. My wife, Corey, writes the blog part of all of this. And again, she is the rubber meets the road part. She is the one who is practicing these things 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. While I'm working, she's here practicing this stuff. She has an uncanny ability for written word, guys. I highly recommend you go check out the blog, thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog, or on the main site, you can also go and click on blog. It'll take you over there and listen to some of her posts. I do ask, guys, that I'm sorry that we don't have a new one up. My wife has been sick. You know, we just got diagnosed a few days ago as RSV has been in this household. I have managed to not get it, which is good because we needed somebody up. But I have had every kid and my wife down with this RSV stuff. Nasty, nasty little stuff. For those of you who don't know what RSV is, just think of like a super cold that is actually so bad that in little kids, it can kill them. Anywhere from two down, it can actually be lethal to them. It's so bad. And I do think that our two-year-old has it. She is doing okay, just lots of coughing. But our little infant, our little seven-month-old, he has escaped the heathen, and she hadn't gotten touched, so it's good. Very, very good. Anyway, sorry we haven't gotten more blog updates over there. We're just at a, it's nasty. This little sucker has been nasty. Guys, also, if you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. If you feel like you're getting 3 dimes worth out of every single one of these shows, if you feel like that 3 dimes out of helpfulness, instructingness, support, care, appreciation, all that other stuff, consider becoming a PTECer. That stands for Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's just kind of our little funny spin on PETA. No, I am not a PETA member. But I do believe in helping save and preserve our kids' safety and mentality and mentalness and mental health, as well as our own. You can do that becoming a PTECer. It just helps support the show. I would say that it helps us keep the lights on. In reality, I pay for all of that out of my own pocket. That doesn't come out of you guys or anything else. However, it does help us expand the show. And I love expanding the show. I love new things. New microphones make things sound better. All that other stuff. It allows me to expand my horizons with what we're doing here at the Family Podcast Network. So consider being a part of that. And guys, I want you to think about it this way. We have families that write in and say, Trey, I've had this problem. And then we talk to them. We answer them. We get them that ability to hook them up with podcasts. Say, hey, go check this podcast out and this one. And then let's talk. We sit down and talk. I had a dad just the other day who ran up and said, man, I just want you to know, I listened to your podcast on this, and I listened to your and I did all your stuff. And he said, my son has been completely different, and I can't even begin to tell you how much you've changed. If you want to be a part of helping parents experience that stress-free life like you've got, if you want to be a part of helping those parents that are ready to learn, they just need somebody to sit down and walk them through it, like in a podcast, you can do that. Becoming a PTECer is one of the best ways. Guys, also, if you have any questions, comments, if you got a topic for us that you want me to go over in a show, or if you just wanted to send out some encouragement, guys, we love that here. It absolutely builds me up. We played one of our feedback comments just last week that we got permission to use, and I'll tell you guys, that goes a long way to fuel me, so I always appreciate those kinds of things. But then let's just say you want to hear something specific. Hey, my kid does that. I'd love to hear something on this. Just remember, you don't have to give out your name if you don't want to. I understand if you're feeling comfortable. Parenting is especially, even for me, parenting is especially, I don't know, raw of an area to admit to with these kinds of things and questions. So you don't have to put your name. You can make up a fake name, pseudo name, call yourself Harry Potter for all I care. But send those out. We want to answer those, guys. Comments, if you have a question or whatnot, I love to answer those. You can do that through email, TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com, internet voicemail. Over on the right-hand side of the bar of the website, it says Ask Trey a Question. Click on that. As long as you got a microphone attached to your computer, you can leave me a voicemail, and we'll get that either on the show or back to you as soon as possible. Also, you can go to Contact Us and submit through one of the various contact us things. Or, guys, last, Facebook. A lot of you guys connect with me on Facebook. I do apologize. Some of you guys have sent out some messages. I think I'm all caught up now with all the messages that I've received. If I've missed yours and you hear this today, resubmit it because I might have missed it. But I think I'm caught all the way up with everybody's emails and messages. We kind of got inundated for a little while there, but we're caught up. And I shoot that over there. Facebook can be a really great place because I'm on Facebook so much. It can be one of the quickest ways to get connected with me. All right, guys, with all of that said and out of the way, let's jump into our topic for today, which is Let 'em Box It Out. That's right. We're going to talk a little bit today about sibling fighting, sibling, not necessarily the rivalry part of it, but maybe some of the conditions of that rivalry that you'll see is that kids fight it out. So today we're going to talk a little bit about how kids have a tendency to get into arguments with siblings, and they fight and they bicker. They'll run things like, oh, that's not fair, and all that other stuff as they get into their arguments and they go back and forth. Well, no, we're going to do it my way. No, we're going to do it my way. We're going to do it my way. And it's one of the bane of siblingry for parents. I mean, it drives us absolutely nuts because of the fights and the yelling and the brawling, and sometimes they get physical. Sometimes they get really nasty and mean and hurtful, and we're just, you know, it's just crazy. So I'm going to play for you guys a little bit of, I guess, an MP3 here. A clip here from a movie that I want you guys to hear. It comes from the movie Multiplicity. One of my favorite movies. Just a great little fun Michael Keaton movie about him replicating himself. But this is one of the scenes where he, you know, he's sitting there and he's stressed out. His wife has gone back to work and he's taking care of the kids. And this is kind of one of the fights that the kids get into that not only is funny, but I think most of his parents will kind of identify with this. So check this out.
I'm telling you, Zach, give it back to her.
Duty head!
Hey, hey, both duty heads, get up there, it's bath time. Go on up there, don't come out till you're married.
Come on, Sweet Cake.
Get up there.
You know... I mean, this is obviously a little bit of a reenactment here. You know, I mean, these are obviously little actors and actresses, but they did pretty dadgum good. I mean, let's be honest. In some level or degree, some of us experience that pretty regularly with our kids, especially when we have more than one. And so, I mean, one of my favorite parts is where he just says, like, Dad, just give it back to her, Jack or Kevin or whatever his name was. Just give it back to him, right? You see that natural reaction to just, you know, to fall in on one side or the other of the debate and try to solve the issue for him, just kind of knee-jerk, right? We're going to talk a little bit today about how that level of reaction, and guys, I admit to this very, very starkly, I admit to this in myself. We're going to talk today about how combat ineffective that approach is, and a little bit of an alternative. What is this? What is something else that we can do? So, you know, I mean, let's be honest. As parents, I think a lot of us really struggle with this. I mean, we often handle the issue by solving the problem for our kids. I mean, it was just like that one kid who's like, Dad, you know, you give it back to your sister, right? Well, the reality comes down to this. Well, who had it first? Who had what item first? I mean, we all know the, Dad, so-and-so took my blah, or Matt, so-and-so took... I mean, we have this problem we have a lot of learning devices around here, like iPads and Kindles and Leap Pads and whatnot. And so we often get around to that, you know, with like, you know, Dad, so-and-so took my blah. Or we'll get into it like at bath time and who wants to do, you know, who wants to stay in longer, who wants to get out sooner, or, you know, who wants to play what game while we're in there. I mean, those are the kinds of little things that we run into. So, a lot of times we have a tendency as parents, and let me rephrase this. I have a tendency as a parent to solve this problem by solving the problem for them. So, if the kids come to me and they're like, Dad, you know, we want to play this, and I want to get out soon, but, you know, Anna wants to stay in longer, and blah, 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 and she won't let me do that, right? I have a tendency to walk in and say, okay, Anna, I'm going to stay in the bathtub for a little bit sooner or else, or you're going to get out of the bathtub, I'm going to go and get the clothes on, I don't want to do this with you. But see, what the problem with that is that I'm solving a problem for them. Sometimes my solutions that I come up with the kids are quite brilliant. And it's just like, oh, wow, yeah, that's actually pretty insightful. Way to go, Trey. But what's the problem with this? You see, it creates a repeat issue. Everything starts all over again. Everything happens again. You see, we have this issue often and frequently with, like, water. You know, there was a period of time there where we would get our kids water, and it would knock their water over, and then they'd do it again. They'd do it two or three times a day, and we just couldn't figure out why our kids kept doing it. And finally, I said, you know, my wife called me one day and said, Trey, I'm so frustrated. I'm just ready to punch my kids in the face, metaphorically meant. And she goes, what do I need to do? She said, they spilled their water again. So finally, I was like, well, what do you do whenever you spill the water? She goes, well, I get out of town. I clean it up. I said, well, have you ever thought about letting the kids clean it up? And she was like, Trey, you're a genius. She really did say that. She goes, Trey, you're a genius. And that was one of the issues that we had, was that the spill started to go down because they began to realize that if they did it, then they would have to clean up their own mess. They had to start taking responsibility for their own messes instead of having mom and dad come and try to clean it up for them. And you see, we take that approach often with our kids when it comes to their arguments and their fights and their frustrations and their issues, is that we come in and we try to solve the problem for them, which does nothing but create the same problem we're trying to fix. I've seen the same level of mentality with my kids fighting over like one specific toy that they really want. I've seen them do it like I've seen them as something as simple as like getting upset about like what percentage of the blanket somebody has. And so like if they're sharing a blanket and one of them has a few, you know, like a little bit more blanket, they'll get fussy and just back and forth. And no, it's mine. They'll pull it back and forth and back and forth. My 2-year-old will do it just like, mine. No, Cora, it's mine. You know? Or maybe we'll get it in like the, well, he hit me or she hit me in the face. You know, it's all these things. It's all these things that kids will come running to. And the natural part, I think, of most parents is what do we want to do? You got it. We want to solve that problem for them. We want to solve it. And I'll be straight with you. I don't think this is necessarily a weird thing. I think it's kind of natural that we want to fix these issues. I think most human nature inherently is that we will take the road of least resistance to get the biggest amount of results that we can. I think it's the natural root of it. And if we can find a way to get whatever we want without ever having to put much work into it, I think we'll do it. So this is where we'll come into the kids and we'll tell them, you know, stop yelling. Stop fighting. Stop whining. Right? Because what are we looking for as parents? We're looking to get the problem fixed and be done. We want the screaming to stop. We want the bickering to quit. We want the fighting to cease. We want the wrestling to end. We want to get that squared away nice and tight and sweep it off our desk. But you see, this is not necessarily the best solution. Why is that? You know, well, this is a tricky one because there's that small part of you that it's such a simple, small amount of work. It typically makes us feel better, especially like yelling or something like that. It often makes us feel better because it's venting some of that emotion out. So it makes us feel a little bit better. But why is it not the best solution? Simply put, it's this. When we react to our kids by solving their problems, solving the bickering and the fighting issues that they have, it teaches kids that if they want to solve their own problems with other people, who do they need to come to? Us. Instead of learning how to solve problems for themselves, how to think outside the box to come up with solutions. I think this is one of our number one places that you begin to see a lack of empathy and compromise in kids. You're seeing these kids that are growing up and they're getting married and they're getting divorced because they're unwilling to compromise on anything. I think it's because they've never had to. They've grown up learning that, oh, everything will get squared away for me. I don't actually have to give in on my end any. And subsequently, even worse, I would say, this breeds a mentality that we hate in our kids often. It breeds a mentality that they need mom and dad to solve their problems. I can't do it. Now, some of that is natural for kids. But as they get older, what we should be doing is helping them grow in such a way where they begin to realize, oh, yeah, really, there's not much that I can't do unless I just don't want to. This is where we get this mentality that kids will get, like, I can't figure this out. I can't do it. I don't know the answer. And you see, the deadly part of it is that kids become dependent on mom and dad's brain to think. Now, I'm going to venture a guess out there that most of you guys have no desire for your kid to turn out that way. You don't want your kid to be dependent on you. You want them to be free, independent thinkers. And then it breeds this mentality that you don't have to compromise. A lot of times, so where do I get this from? I mean, a lot of times kids will use mom and dad to get what they want. Right? They run up to you, Mom, so-and-so said blah, 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 blah. Do what you're, you know, don't do that, son. Dad, so-and-so said blah, blah, blah. You don't say that to each other. That's not nice, right? They use each other to get what they want. You know what that's also called? Manipulation. A lot of times we don't realize that by taking I call it in my family. I'm not necessarily suggesting this for you guys. In my family, Corey and I call it the lazy parenting approach. Whenever we take that approach with our kids, when they're fighting or bickering or with each other, we call it the lazy parenting approach. Whenever we take that mentality of, oh my God, what do I got to do to shut these kids up? What do I got to do to get them to quit yabbering and jabbering at each other? What do I got to do? Just quick, easy fix. What I'm really training them in is manipulation. We have to be real careful with that because we want them to come, Dad, so-and-so did this, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of times if you'll pull the other party in, you get them talking, you go, oh, wow, that is not what was meaning to happen here. But a lot of times it's manipulation. It's a very big deal. And I'll be honest, guys. I'm the worst at this. I want y'all to hear me say this is not some kind of grand scheme of things the ascertaining of the most beautiful guy ever when it comes to parenting. I mean, I screw this crap up regularly. Let me tell you. So I'm the worst at this mentality. I mean, just today. I mean, Cora and Grant and Anna were all in the bathtub, and they were playing. And they had a toy that was in there, and Cora wanted it. And Cora was, I mean, she's our two-year-old, and she was being a turd about it. She was doing the classic, you know, I want to play with it, and trying to yank it out of the other two kids' hands. And the other two kids are taught not to go and yank it back out of her hand, but to really teach her how they want her, you know, how they wanted her to treat them and whatnot. And but they were having a hard time with it. The kids were just yelling, and Grant was yelling at Cora, and Cora was yelling at Anna and Grant, and just back and forth and all over the place. And they were just so upset. Well, guess what? The daddy in me, right? All the screaming and the yelling went right to that amygdala part of the brain or whatever, and just elicited emotional response, and I came in just as a rage monster, ready to eat, you know, start biting, literally chewing heads off, you know, with my teeth, right? Again, metaphorically meant. But the reality was, I was upset. And I came in just wanting to tell, Grant, you need to give her that toy, and Anna, you need to sit that down, and you know, Corey, you need to move over here. And I came in with that mentality that I was just going to sit there and just boss them around and get them doing exactly what I wanted. But you see, it was in this situation that the question came up, what should we do? So I'm going to tell you guys the story that helped precipitate today's topic. The other day we got back from church and we came in. We sat down and we changed out of our church clothes, and the kid said, Dad, would you play with us? And I said, absolutely. I said, we'll play. And Anna goes, oh, Dad, I want to play reindeer. Which is, it's kind of like a, I mean, you know, it's kind of like a pseudo Santa Claus. I think I've shared with you guys that we don't do Santa Claus in our house. And it's not because we think if you do Santa Claus, you do anything wrong or bad or evil or anything like that. We don't think that at all. Just for us in how we define what lying is, we couldn't justify telling a kid that, you know, Santa Claus was real and he has a sleigh and all these other stuff, and then telling them that we also believe that they shouldn't lie and make up things and then try to convince people consistently that they're true. And so, I'm not suggesting anybody who does Santa Claus is doing that. That's not what I'm saying. For me and my family, we just couldn't make it work. So but regardless, we have a game that we call reindeer. And so basically what it is I'm Santa Claus. I guess I'm a jolly fat man, and I'm probably typecast. But we, you know, I sit in a sleigh, and then they, you know, all three of the kids will play reindeer, and they're the reindeer, and they pull me along, and we almost always sing Rudolph Red on Reindeer or something like that. We have a great time. It's a lot of fun. Well, we also have our pillow fight game. So this is like pillow fight game, but like, you know, I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for here? Milsim, maybe, like military simulation. Because we build forts and we put on body armor. I mean, we go, we really deck this sucker out when we play this. And we just sit there and throw pillows back and forth. It's a great game, right? So Grant wanted to play pillow fight, and Anna wanted to play reindeer. And one of them looked at me and said, Dad, can we play now? I said, sure, buy us a game. I said, I want to play reindeers. And then Grant said, well, no, I want to play pillow fight. And then the other one said, well, no, we're going to play reindeer because that's what I want to play. And then the other one said, no, we're going to play pillow fight because that's what I want to play. And they went back and forth on this, just fighting and fussing. And finally I said, guys, I mean, you're going to have to work something out here. Of course, what was I wanting to do? I want to step in and say, okay, guys, here's the plan. We're going to sit down. We're going to play exactly 10 minutes of reindeer. When 10 minutes of reindeer is up, then we will begin to proceed to play. You know, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to step in and solve that issue. I wanted to, even if solving the issue just involved, like, you know, griping at him or shouting at him or something like that to get him to stop yelling at each other or whatever it was, I wanted to do it the easy, lazy parenting approach. I stopped myself and I said, you know what? I wonder how I can get them to do this. Tell you what, I said, well, what we'll do is we'll hinge me playing with them off of the solution that they come up with that they both are acceptable. They both find acceptable. So I looked at them and I said, okay, guys, I really want to play with y'all, but you guys are going to have to work this out and figure out a compromise that you guys are both okay with before I'll be willing to play. And I walked off, and let me tell you, they didn't like that. They didn't throw a fit, but for them, it was like, oh, we're missing daddy time. And I walked out of the room. And I started putting a few groceries away. And my kids called me, and I came in there, and I said, yeah, what's going on, guys? And they said, we've made our minds up. And they said, we're going to play reindeer first, this is my daughter talking. So we're going to play reindeer first. So that was her game. She goes, but what we're going to do is that Grant is going to get to be the reindeer the entire time. The Rudolph reindeer. Because that's the coveted reindeer spot in the game. Because you want to be Rudolph. What? A brilliant compromise. What a brilliant compromise. They both sat down, and they both got a little piece of what they wanted. My daughter got what she wanted. She got what she wanted by being able to play the game that she wanted to play first. My son got what he wanted, and though he didn't get to play his game first, what he did get to do was get the most coveted role in there. And you want to know something? They worked this out 100% completely by themselves. Anna is 6 years old. My son is 4. And they figured this problem out by themselves. You see what happened? When I put the lazy parenting aside, when I put the solutions that in my mind I felt were amazing, which were just totally blown out of the water by their suggestion, when I allow them to work it out, when I actually hinged, contingently hinged the having fun on them working it out and making something up that would be good for the both of them, they sat down and compromised. You see how that works? When the only door that's going to get you to what you want to do involves working with a person, you figure out a way to go through that door. But when you feel like you can just manipulate and you know, just kind of trick them, you know, son, we better stop doing that. Your sister said that. Whenever there's that door that's open, there's no need to compromise. All you got to do is run to mom and dad and manipulate them and get them to do what you want. Let your kids box it out. Now, you may need to teach them. That doesn't mean that they just walk into this and you say, figure it out, guys, and walk off and they're going to do it. They may need more. They may need more even if they're 16, 17 years old. They may still not have a firm grasp on how exactly all of this works. You may need to educate them. You may need to tell them, hey, guys, if y'all want to go with me to the store, you guys are going to have to figure out who's going to sit in the front seat or else both of you are going to stay. You see, that forces them to look at compromise. You also, on the flip side of this, need to be showing them what compromise is. There's no better way that I know of than to compromise with your kids. Now, I'm not saying like kid wants to go play in the street with a shotgun and you compromise and let them have a small revolver and then they can play in a driveway. That's not what I mean. I'm not talking about that like in life-threatening situations. But I'm talking about when it's little things like that. Compromise with your kids. When it's little things that don't matter, compromise with your kids. You may not want to let the 2 or the 4-year-old pour their milk because you're afraid it's going to spill everywhere, but compromise a little bit. You may not want to let the 13-year-olds go to the party that you're thinking they're not old enough to go to yet. Now, I'm not advocating for like drinking or anything like that, but compromise. They may want a curfew of 1 a.m. and you compromise and give them 12 instead of the 10 or 11 o'clock like you normally do. Be willing to compromise with your kids. It's not because you're saying that you don't have the authority. Of course you have the authority. Good leaders don't need to be reminded of that. But you compromise with them because you are teaching them to look out for the needs of others, not just their own. And you do that by looking out for the needs of your kids, not just your own. Very powerful. Very valuable. And it's one of the natural things that we should do. It's natural for us to want to solve our kid problems. I mean, I'm really wanting to make sure that's really clear today. It's natural for us want to come up with solutions to their problems that we feel like are fair. And a lot of times they are. A lot of times they're brilliant ideas. But we need to let our kids fight it out a little bit. We need to let our little kids understand that the only way to get what you guys are wanting is to figure out a way to make it work together. I mean, think about that. You want to talk about setting your kid up with some amazing marital advice one day. Oh, Trey, don't talk about marriage and my kids. I agree with you. But we got to start thinking about that eventually they may do that. And we need to make sure that they are fully equipped to walk into a marriage prepared. Let our kids fight it out. Let them know that getting to where they want to be is contingent upon them squaring it away themselves. A lot of times as parents, we want to take away whatever problem it is in front of them. Maybe we just want to send them to the room. No bueno, guys. We need to let our kids experience conflict and teach them the best result that you can give yourself is to meet somebody in the middle. See how powerful that is? Letting our kids box it out can be one of the best things that we can do. because it allows kids to develop those skills on how to disagree and communicate effectively, on how to see things differently but still come up with something that works for both parties. You see, that's powerful. I was so blown away by my daughter coming in and saying, "Yeah, Dad, we worked out a deal." "Oh, really? Tell me about that." "So we decided we're going to play my game first, but Grant gets to be Rudolph the entire time." How brilliant. They met in the middle, and they were successful. 6 and 4 years old. I know full-grown adults that can't do that. I struggle as a full-grown adult to do that sometimes. But we need to be. You need to be. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Guys, I sure do appreciate you guys showing up today. I do ask, if you don't mind, share us out on Facebook. Knock this over there. Let people know about it. Help us get the words out there. We sure do appreciate it. Again, if y'all have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, as always, we want to make sure that we value your time. Drop us a line. Let us know what you want to hear about. We want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. Man, I hope you guys have a great week. Hope you guys have a great Wednesday today. And if nothing else, we'll see you guys this Friday for our next episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast with my good friend and marriage and family therapist, Jeff Emery. Come see us Friday. You guys have a good one.